Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Sukkah Tes Zayin. Perhaps we'll start again from the two dots on Tesvav Amid Beis, four lines from the top. So we have a bed frame which came apart. Now the bed frame consists of two long posts, two short ones, and of course four legs. Mishnah speaks about this fellow using Aruchai Samita, the long bedposts, as schach, and the Mishnah considers them to be schach puzzle. Lema masayele le Rabbi Ami bar Tav Yumi. Perhaps this is a riot to the Shita, the Amar Rabbi Ami bar Tav Yumi. Sichcha bevloi kelim psula. If one uses worn out garments, that's schach puzzle, despite the fact that it isn't really a functioning kli. But since it originated from a kli which is pasul for schach, Chachamim disallowed even remnants of a kli, for it might lead one to use the actual kli itself. Likewise over here, we have the disassembled bed frame. Since it originated from a full bed frame, it's no longer suitable for schach. Perhaps it's a raya to that shita. It doesn't allow even bloi kalim, even remnants. Answers the Gemara, really isn't a comparison. Why? Because over here, perhaps this portion of the bed still has function, still has use, and is still considered a kli by its own right. Elsewhere, Rav Chanan bar Rebbe tells us, regarding a different Mishnah, but the concept is still the same, that we're speaking about a collapsed bed, but we have a significant portion of that bed intact, aruka, the long post, ushtei kra'ayim, with its two legs still intact. Or biktsara ushtei kra'ayim, the short side of the bed with two legs. And therefore it's still considered somewhat of a kli, somewhat useful, as the Gemara will explain soon. Therefore, says the Gemara, perhaps over here, the aruchai samita is not just a broken, apart frame. Hachanami barucha ushtei kra'ayim, a long post with two legs intact, or biktsara, a side post, ushtei kra'ayim, with its two legs. Heyecha itma de Rav Chanan amar Rabbi. Where? What did that concept apply? Ahadasnan on the following Mishnah, mita amas chavila. A mita is mitames, meaning it can attract tuma only when it's chavila, when it's a bundle, when the bed frame is fully intact. Umitaheres chavila. Likewise, suppose the bed acquired tumah and then fell apart. The only way to be toivel in the mikvah is by first reassembling that bed, so it appears like a bed, it's a fully functioning bed, and then you can be toivel it divir b'lezer. See, the only way for a bed to become tumah is if it's intact, a full bed frame, serving in proper capacity, but broken apart, you can't become tummy, nor could you be matire that bed in that form. Even if it's broken apart, it can still attract tuma umatire sevar. Likewise, you can be toivel that bed, even though it's a collapsed frame, mind you. Well, what are we speaking when we say evar? Completely collapsed? Has no function, has no use. How could you treat it like a bed? Amar Chanan, Amar Rabbi, Aruka Ushtei Kra'ayim, Ketzara Ushtei Kra'ayim, was speaking that the portion of the frame still has function, it still has significance. It's the long post with two legs intact, or the short post with two legs. Lamay Chazi. What is it suitable for? It's just a broken bed. Says the Mori, you can still use it somewhat. Lemis Mechinu Agudim. You can lean it against the wall, and sit on him, umishta ashli, by running some ropes across, meaning you can create some sort of improvised frame by using this portion of the bed, running it against the wall as support, and running some ropes back and forth. So it still has some function. And as Tosis explains, although we're speaking about a bed, which isn't really a clay kibul, he calls it pshute kli eitz, still makamal tumah, of course, because it's chazi lemedrasa, as Tosu says, meaning a zav can sit on it, can lean on it, can lie on it, so it can acquire tumas medras. And that's the basis for the tumah here. apparently Chachamim hold, even though it's not the original bed, it's a broken apart bed, the collapsed frame, but still it still has some function. It still has some shimush. Although not the ikar function, but some sort of improvised use it has. Therefore, the Chachamim maintain it still has its tumah, it still retains somewhat of its original shame, and we treat it like a bed. Rabbi Elazar disagrees. He says, even though it can serve you in some capacity, this is not the bed, this is not the kli in its original form, and therefore you can't have tumah or tahara in this format. Chachamim, however, Tosfos explains on Tzvav Amud Beis, they hold that since you can reassemble it, and Tosfos says, we're speaking that he still has the other half. It wasn't lost, it wasn't stolen. It wasn't stolen, so he still has. And only if he still has that capacity, he can reassemble two parts of that bed. So we treat it as though it's on its way back to being reassembled. And since, currently speaking, it still can serve in some capacity, that's the point of Al-Gemara, it can still support on the wall and lie on it, that helps it retain its bed capacity. And since we're speaking about Tumas Medras, meaning that the bed is really serving the person, it's not on its own a kli, it's not a kli which is mekabel. The point of the Tumah here is because it's serving a person, meant to sit on it, to lie on it, so if it could still serve, it could still support a person any which way, Chacham maintained that it will still hold on to its Tumah, it will still be considered somewhat of a bed, and could become Tami or Tair in its current form. That seems to be the essence of the Machlokes in Reb Lezer, who requires a full-sized, properly designed bed, the original kli, the way it's meant to look. Chacham will say, look at function. It could still function in some capacity. It still retains its bed status. Gufa, let's go back to the halacha we mentioned earlier. Amar bi'amya bar teryumi, sichacha bivla'i kelim psula. If you used worn-out kelim, that's chach possible. Although, it's not really a kli, not really mekabel tumah. It's exer derabanan because it might actually lead a person to use the original kli itself. My bloy kalim, when we say worn out kalim, what are we speaking about? Says the Gemara, we're speaking about worn out garments, worn out material. Oma bay matlonius, little patches, little pieces of material. She'ein ben sholosh ala sholosh. We're speaking about less than the required shear for tumah, which is three. Etzbois by three etzbois. These are smaller than that. Ein b'hem sholish al sholish to loichazian, and therefore are unsuitable. Loilanim, not for paupers. They wouldn't even hold on to this small material for a patch use. Loilashim are certainly not for wealthy people. Despite the fact that it has no use, it's totally useless. There's a gzera, don't use it as schach, because a person may actually use the kli, the original garment, the original piece of material itself. Tanya kavasei derabi ami bar tevumi. We seem to have a right from a brisa to this concept. Machzelas shel shifa b'shel gemi. Have a mat made of these plants. Shiareh. You have the remnants of these mats. So it got worn down, and you only have a little bit left. Afal pishen nifchasumi kishiura. Even though it's less than the shiur, which would allow it to have tumah. Rashi brings it mishnah and kalim. When it comes to a mapatz, a mat, you need at least shisha al shisha. It needs to be 6x6 tfachim for it to be ro'i l'kabal tumah. See, here it's already worn down to much less than that. Ein masachachin behen, they may not be used for schach, and that's a raya to the lachot we just mentioned, since originally it was a proper kli, and it had tumah capability, even though currently it's smaller than the size, and it's not makabal tumah, we don't want to use it to avoid confusion. The Raisa continues, Machzela sakonim gedoyla. If you have a mat made of konim, of bamboos, of reeds, is that called a kli? Is it makabel tumah? Or do we say it designated perhaps for schach, and it's not a kli to be makabel tumah, you can use it for schach. Says the Raisa, you know what, it depends on its size. Machzelas hakonim gedoyla, if it's large in size, we know it's not meant for sitting. Me'sachachin ba, it can be used for schach, it's not a kli, it's not mekabel tumah. Rashi says, stoma l'sichach, even though its intention and purposes is unknown, we assume large in size, meant for shade and shelter. Ketana, if it's a small sized mat, ein masachin ba, it may not be used for schach because it's a small sized mat, personal size, it's meant for sitting purposes. It's a kli, it's makabel tuma. Rashi says, stama, a stam is to serve a person, and therefore a kli is unsuitable for schach. It's makabel tuma. Rabbi Lezer Omer, his machmer, afi, even the large sized mat, mikabel as tuma, bein masachin ba, even a stama, even if it's unknown. Purpose unknown. We assume that stama l'shchiva. We presume that it's meant for lying, for sleeping, in which case it's a kli. As we said before, mita is mekabel tuma, and therefore it's not kasha for schach. Continues the Gemara. Hachoitet begadish. Okay, so now he's holding, by making a sukkah, he has a haystack, a pile of bundles. He's going to go carve out, hollow out the inside and leave the frame, leave the skeleton intact. The Mishnah says, ain't a sukkah. You know why? Because it wasn't man-made. The schach was just left untouched. And we need a tasa. Schach has to be placed by a person. It has to be man-made schach for the sake of providing shade. Amar Rav Huna Leishonu, you know what? This concern only applies if it's a solid haystack. Ela she'en sham chalal tefach. You don't have in this haystack airspace, a tefach worth of airspace. B'meshach shiva, throughout an area of 7x7 tefach. So it's a solid haystack. And he's now carving it out to create some living space in there for a sukkah. That doesn't work. Aval yesh sham chalal tefach. But suppose before he began carving it out, there was already some sort of gap inside. There was a chalal tefach. So when he placed his top layer of bundles, he had left a gap, an airspace of tefach beneath that. That's already a shear of oil tumah, as we learned back on the Yudam and Aleph. So if there was already a chalal tefach, an airspace of a tefach, b'meshach shiva, of course, it needs to be the size of a sukkah, meaning over an area of 7x7 tefachim. So you have an airspace, a tefach high by 7x7. Hareza sukkah. And that's fine to serve in sukkah capacity. Let's go over to Rashi. About 6-7 lines above our position in the Gemara. Elish ein sham chalal tefach. The concern is only when there is no chalal tefach. Goiva, meaning a tefach of airspace. B'meshach oirech v'roich av shiva. Over an area of 7 tefach. Kishir sukkah. There was no tefach of airspace, just a airspace less than a tefach. And then he piled all the bundles over that. In which case, now when he's carving out his haystack, schach is resulting. Right? As a result of his efforts, you have a shield, you have a shelter, you have a mesachich. Something which was not there before, because previously it was just a solid haystack. And that doesn't work, because he didn't actually fashion that schach. It's just there by default. Aval yesh sham chalal tefach, oyel. But if you have a chalal tefach previously, meaning when he piled up his bundles, he had left a small gap, small cavity inside, which has a tefach in height. Nimtza shem schach ala yisid gadish. That's the case. You already have shem schach there. You've created a shield, a shade provider, something hovering over that small airspace inside your haystack. Ukshachoytet by milamata lamala. And then when he continues hollowing out that airspace, enlarging that airspace, ad shemagbiya sachala l'shir goy v'asara, until he enlarges it and picks it up all the way up, gets it to be 10 tefachim high, so he takes it from 1 tefach all the way to 10 tefachim, is asiyasai. That's not called the asiyah of the schach. Shara einim asakin al atfonis. What is he really doing here? He's enlarging the walls. He's making the walls higher. But as far as the airspace, it's the same airspace technically. Right? There was already an oil beforehand. He's just making things a bit higher. Ubit fanois layamrinon tasa vlaminasi. Says Rashi, the concept of tasa is strictly related to the schach, not by walls. Rashi has an example. It's like the sukkah, which was less than 10 tefachim high. We had back on the dalet. And he carved out the floor and created a chakak, a pit, a dugout, which was mashlim the high to asar. That's fine. Here as well, says Rashi, if this haystack already featured a halal of tefach inside it, then the top layer of the hay was already serving in schach capacity, and that was manually made. It was man-made. So since it already has a shem schach, even though he comes in afterwards and enlarges that gap and picks up the makes the halal higher and higher until it gets to 10 tefachim, he says, Rashi, that's a change taking place in the tefanes. The daifin is becoming higher and taller. But as far as the oil, it's really the same oil as before. The schach was already masachich before he began carving out and enlarging his gap. Interesting diuk in Rashi, in the name of the Ran, you see Rashi, when he described this fellow being choited by, he says, melamata lamala, starting from the bottom up. And the Ran actually has a different gerus in Rashi, melamala lamata, that he began on top and worked his way down. So he learns that the way his Gerson Rashi works, that the only way to really do it is start from the top and go down. So he has a large haystack. And as we said, there was a halal tefach, meaning the top layer of that haystack was covering airspace of a tefach within the haystack. And according to the way his Gerson Rashi, it's milamala lamata. The only way it works is if he extends the halal downward, so the sukkah, the schach, remains in place, unaffected, unchanged, and then he's modifying it by just enlarging the halal, extending it downward till he gets the 10th fach. But the Ran brings another pshat, which is milmata lamala, that perhaps it works all the other way around too. You have a haystack with a halal all the way on bottom, with lots of material between the gap, between the airspace and the top layer of the schach, of his haystack. And then he's going to work his way up. Does that work? So he says, perhaps yes, because even though he's really carving away from the schach and really modifying the schach, well, he says, the entire layer, this entire material sitting on the halal is really all schach. So even though he's enlarging the gap and changing the configuration of that schach, that's okay. So he's thinning out the schach, but it's still the same schach, whether it's thick schach or thin schach. So here as well, it would work. So either way, whether working your way down or working your way up, you already have your schach there, and that schach is man-made, and it's kosher. So let's go back to the Gemara. Rav Huna tells us a chiddush. Choited begadish, ain't a sukkah. Yeah, that's when it's a solid haystack. But if you began with at least something there, a halal tefach, then you can go and enlarge that gap and complete your sukkah. Says more Tani Rami Hochi. We actually have a brisa to support this. Achoit et begodesh lasas leisukah reza sukah. Brisa says carves out a haystack. It's fine. What do you mean? Vanantan ain't a sukah. Our Mishnah says it doesn't work. Ela lashma mina. Apparently, the only way to reconcile this apparent stira could be Rav Huna. That the brisa which allows is speaking like Rav Huna. Originally, he had a halal tefach in this haystack, whereas our Mishnah speaking, it was a solid haystack. And therefore, it doesn't work. Shema mino. Indeed, this is a raya to Rav Huna. Ika de Rami le Mirma. There were others who presented a different version of Rav Huna's halacha. See, instead of Rav Huna providing an explanation to our Mishnah, lo shanu, only in this case, but in that case it works, he was actually coming to answer a stira, the stira that we just presented. We have a Mishnah, tna nachoitet begadish, lazas le sukkah ain't a sukkah. On the one hand, we have a Mishnah, it doesn't work. On the other hand, we have a Braisa, Vatanya, harezu sukkah. Steps in Rav Huna, he says, there's a big difference. Amar Rav Huna like kasha. The answer is, kan b'shiyesham chalal tefach b'meshach shiva. The Braisa is speaking, there was already a pre-existing chalal in this haystack, one tefach high, seven tefach wide, a shir sukkah, and he really came along to enlarge the halal, in which case the schach was already a man-made functioning schach. Kan b'she'en shem chalal tefach meshach shiva. Whereas our Mishnah speaking, there was no such chalal, in which case there's a tasa v'lo minasi. Taisa speculates perhaps of huna l'shitasai. Back on daf, Yudam and Aleph, we spoke about the sukkah tachas ha-sukkah. The Gemara asked, well, how high is the top sukkah? How much airspace is there in the top sukkah for the bottom one to be considered sukkah tachas ha-sukkah and pasul? And Rav Huna was the one who provided the shir tefach, because we find by a tumah that an oil of a tefach provides coverage. So we see that it has significance. And therefore, says Tosfos, perhaps here as well, Rav Huna is following his way of reasoning, that even though a tefach isn't really a makim sukkah, it's not really for dira sukkah, which needs at least 10 tefachim, but since it has some function, some significance, it is mishamish like an oil, that is sufficient as a starting point for your sukkah. And Tosfos says, perhaps even the other shittos would agree to Rav Huna in the context of our sukkah. Continues the Mishnah. Hameshal shel defanis milamala lamata. Meshal shel means lower, like lowering a chain. So this fellow is going to begin building his sukkah walls from the top, where the schach is going to lay. He starts from the top and works his way down, and runs out of material in the middle. He never got to the floor. Im gevoyim an aretz shloshat tefachim psula. If he's left hanging 3 tefachim from the aretz, that's beyond the lavud, allows the goat to get through, it's not serving as a mechitz, as a barrier, it's possible. But if it's within 3 tefachim to the ground, it's considered one and connected, and it's fine. What about milamata lamala? If he begins building from the bottom and works his way up, how far does he have to go? Im gevoya asar tefachim ksher, once he reaches 10 tefachim, it's kasher. Rabbi Yossi Eimer, here's a chiddush. Kesheim she milamata lamala. Asarat Tfachim, just as we maintained, that going upward 10 Tfachim is enough. As long as the Mechitza rises 10 off the ground, that is sufficient Mechitza for Sukkah. You don't have to reach the Schach. Kach Malamal Lamata Asarat Tfachim. Likewise, even if he's coming down, so he's starting from the top and working his way down, as long as he dropped 10 Tfachim, that's okay, even though his Mechitza is way off the floor. The Gemara explain the reason for this. Let's go over to Rashi. Around 7-8 lines up. Mas Nisan says Rashi, Hameshal shel kol milamala lamata kari shilshol. Milamala lamata. Shehizcha lerig ha-mechitza is la-schach. He begins weaving, forming his mechitza at the schach point, meaning at the top of the daifin, where the schach would typically lie. And then works his way down. Va'irig u'bokla mimata, and weaves his mat, his sticks, his bamboo, going downward. Shloish tefachim psula. If he left 3 or more tefachim on the bottom, it's possible. Da'ine k'deishis da'ker agdi vasroish. There's enough space for the goat to jump in unhindered. Da'marim psula. We know that's the shear beyond lavud. It's considered disconnected from the ground. It's not providing a machitza. However, mamata lamala, shehis chalerig mlamata samuch hakarka, began his weave, began building his walls on the ground. Umagbiya v'oila. And he works his way up. Kimishik bi'asara. Once he rises 10, k'shera va'afal bishlagil aschach. Even though he didn't reach the schach, and the two pshatim in this halacha, the Ritva learns this is based on good asik halacha meshem sinai, that you can sort of stretch your machitza upward. If you have a solid machitza down here with a shir v'asara tefachim, we view it as though it extends upward. It has an effect on the entire area, right? It blocks out traffic on the bottom, and also blocks out anywhere, meaning it's forming that mental barrier throughout the entire area, and we view it as though it extends all the way upward to the schach. That's the Ritva's approach. Good asik. Other Rishonim learn you don't need good asik here. 10 tefachim is enough. As long as the mechitza rises 10 tefachim off the ground and is situated below, directly below the schach, which is hovering above it, that's okay. Continues the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi, Eimer k'shem shel mata lamala, daya by rigas yud, just as from bottom up, 10 tefachim is enough. Kach malamala lamata, is a chiddush. Likewise, if you're working your way down, daya by rigas asar, 10 tefachim is enough. V'afilu g'vayu harim min ha'aretz, k'shir. Even if it's way off the ground, it's fine. V'kasava sava mechitza tluyim asar materas, he holds. You have a suspended mechitza, which isn't really planted firmly on the ground, that's okay. You look up, you see, a machitza. So it creates that mental barrier. I'm entering a new domain, even though physically it's not presenting as a barrier. So let's see the Gemara. But my kamiflagi, what's the rationale behind the machlekes here? Tanakama says it has to be firmly planted on the ground. It can't be suspended midair. Rabbi Yossi says, even suspended is okay. Mar savar mechitza tluy materas. Rabbi Yossi maintains, even a suspended mechitza works. It doesn't need to be firmly planted on the ground. Because even a suspended mechitza creates that impression that beyond that mechitza is a separate entity. Umar savar mechitza tluy eina materas. Tanakama maintains, a suspended mechitza doesn't work. As the Chazon Ish explains, a mechitza needs to be something that relates to the makom, to the karka. It has to create a division, a barrier within the karka, within the makom, which is down on the ground below. Tanan Hasan, we learned elsewhere, Mishnah and Ervin, regarding a bor shebein shtei chatzeris, a well situated between two courtyards. So you have a chatzer on the right, chatzer on the left, with a kaisel, of course, a wall running between the chatzeris to split them apart. And you happen to have a well or water pit situated right under that wall. Half is visible on this side, half is visible to the other chatzer, and they both draw water from that same well. Since it's a joint usage area, they cannot do that on Shabbos. They can't draw from the bor, which is a joint bor, over into their respective chatzer, which is a private area, unless they make an erev, to merge together the entire usage area, and then it's one happy family. But otherwise, you're prevented from using that bor. They may not draw water from that bar, which is a makim shutfus, to their own personal chatzar, which is their own private domain, unless they constructed a special machitza designated for this bar, so it's going to be within the bar itself, to create a hekar, a separation, a recognition of separation, so that it appears that each one is drawing from his side of the bar, and now we're no longer accessing each other's usage area. So you have to create a mechitza within the bar, a sorot tvachim. Now you can place it near the water, above the water, bein milamala, bein milamata, whether at a distance from that water, hovering above the water, bein milamata, or right next to the water. Bein b'teich oignoi, Rashi explains, b'teich oignoi is within the, oignoi is the ridge. So it has to be within the ridge, within the bur itself. So you have the water pit. It has to be within the water pit so that it's clearly focused on that water. It's for the sake of the mind. Everybody sees that we have two filling areas. It's as though the bur is split into two. So it has to be b'teich oignoi, but it can be either milamata, very close to the water, or milamala, at a distance from the water, but it has to be within the pit itself. That's the Tanakama, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer. It's actually machlokes between the Shammai who say Omer milamala. It is sufficient if it's within the bor, but at the top portion of the bor. But still Omer milamata, no, it has to be right near the water. In any case, you have to create a mechitza letzorech hamayim. Now we're speaking about a mechitza tzliya, suspended mechitza, because it's not actually splitting the water itself, not even touching the water, perhaps. It works, because here it's a mechitza trying just to create a hekar, trying to create an impression of separation. So typically, Tanakama holds, mechitza tluya doesn't work. For instance, you have mechitza sitting on dry land. It has to actually be planted on that land to create a division in the makom. When it comes to water, Chacham applied a kula, kalhu, shekilu Chacham b'mamayim. Perhaps the point is that water isn't really, you know, really walking on it, living on the water. It's not the makom that you're trying to separate. It's just the usages. You're trying to create an impression of separate usage areas within the makom. And for that purpose, we say even a suspended mechitza functions as a separator. Provided that he did the mechitza specifically for this purpose, in this sake, to provide a hacker of separation in that water. Om Rabbi Yehuda, he disagrees. He says, a suspended mechitza is always effective. And therefore, why do you need to construct a new mechitza in the bar? Loi tehei mechitza, G'dayla min ha-koysel shebenein. Why would you consider this flimsy machitza in your bar more effective than the koysel? That solid wall running between the chatzeres, which happens to run over that bar and creates a separation in the bar as well. Even though it's not in the bar, it's tluya. It's riding over the bar, that's fine. Why? Explains Rashi on the second line from the top. Min ha-koysel shebenein. We're speaking about the koysel, which is the boundary between chatzeres, utluya al pnei ha-pia bar, which is hovering over the bar, so it runs right across that bar. That works. Va'afa b'shalei nasis b'shvil ha-mayim, even though it wasn't made specifically for the sake of filling water, Rabbi doesn't care. Because savar mechitza tluya materis b'chatzeres, afilu kol tiltul. He holds that even a mechitza tluya, even a suspended mechitza up in the air, effectively divides the property beneath it. You see a separation, you see a barrier before you. It creates that mental separation, that's enough. Therefore, it says, you don't bother making mechitza in the bar for the water, for the milui. Forget about it. Just use that pre-existing wall running right over that bar, which effectively splits it into two. So here we have a machlekes, which is very similar to our Mishnah. Whether a suspended mechitza is effective. Rabbi says yes, which is similar to Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah by Sukkah. Suspended mechitza works for Sukkah. Tanakama says no. Typically, a suspended mechitza is ineffective to create a division on the ground below. The only way it works over there is special takanas chachamim, it's a kula. For the sake of filling water, kalhu sheikilu chachamim b'mayim, as Rashi brings. Provided it was a mechitzas mayim, it was specifically constructed for that purpose. That's sufficient to create that impression of separateness. I'm drawing from my side, you're drawing from yours, and we don't need an Erev Chatzeres, which is really based on impressions, on false impressions, right? If I carry from mine to yours, I might carry from the house to the street. So as long as you create an impression of separateness, that's enough. Says the Gemara. Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Let's compare the two things. Erev Chatzeres and Sukkah. Apparently Rabbi Yehuda, who allows a suspended machitza, is b'shitas Rabbi Yossi Amra, is in line with Rabbi Yossi. The Amar machitza tluyim ateres, by way of by Sukkah. Well, says the Gemara, perhaps there's no connection. The two things are unrelated. Lord Rabbi Yehuda Savalak Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda by the bar, perhaps, is not going to agree with Rabbi Yossi by Sukkah. And likewise, Lord Rabbi Yossi Savalak Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi by Sukkah perhaps won't follow Rabbi Yehuda by Shabbos. Why? Lord Rabbi Yehuda Savalak Rabbi Yossi, perhaps Rabbi Yehuda by Shabbos will not concur with Rabbi Yossi by Sukkah. There's a way, there's a makom to be machal. Ad kan lo kam Rabbi Yehuda Hassam. Perhaps it's only over there where Rabbi Yehuda allows a suspended mechitza. Ela beiruvi chatzeres, because it's only the rabbanon. So we allow that leniency. Aval hacha sukkah dereisim. But in our sugya, a sukkah min haTorah, you really need a proper mechitza. A suspended mechitza is ineffective. So perhaps Rabbi Yehuda would not agree to Rabbi Yosi by sukkah. Likewise, v'lo Rabbi Yosi savlak Rabbi Yehuda. How would you know that Rabbi Yossi by Sukkah would concur with Rabbi Yehuda by Shabbos? Ad kan lakam Rabbi Yossi hacha, perhaps over here by Sukkah, is where Rabbi Yossi allows a suspended mechitza. Ela b'sukkah de mitzvah saseh. Sukkah only involves a mitzvah saseh. Meant to eat in the Sukkah. It's not as severe as Shabbos. Aval Shabbos is a skila. So although we're speaking about a mitzvah d'oraisa, but perhaps it's not as severe as Shabbos, which is the Isser Skila, because even though over there, as Rashi explains, we're not speaking about a Malacha, we're only speaking about Irva Chatzeres, which of course is the Rabbanon, but perhaps since one thing can lead to the next, if you carry from one house to the other, one bar to the other, it may lead a person to actually carry from one domain to the other, which is an Isser Skila. Perhaps Chacham would not allow any sort of suspended Mechitza to be employed by Shabbos. Loi. So perhaps Rabbi Yossi, even though he allows by Sukkah, because it's only a mitzvah saseh, at most what happens, he misses the mitzvah of Sukkah, he missed out on a mitzvah saseh, then it's not as severe as Shabbos, which may get into a seskila. So perhaps he cannot allow a suspended mechitza. And therefore, says the Gemara, two things are unrelated. Rabbi Yehuda is over there, Rabbi Yossi over here, and perhaps they don't really connect. If so, Vim Taimar, if that's the case, that according to Rabbi Yossi, we don't allow a mechitza tluya by anything other than sukkah. What about that story? Ma'asa shenasa b'tzipori, that happened in Tzipori, which was Rabbi Yossi's domain. Rashi brings a Gemara in Sanhedrin that Rabbi Yossi was the Rosh Yeshiva of Tzipori, he was the Rav. So what about that story that happened in Tzipori, where they used a mechitza tluya even on Shabbos? Al pi minasa. Who was the one who instructed them to do so? Lo yapi Rabbi Yossi. Says the Gemara, lo yapi Rabbi Yossi. No, actually it wasn't. In accordance with Rabbi Yossi's Shita, he wasn't the one who paskened. El al pi Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. What happened was Rabbi Yossi already passed away, and his son Rabbi Shmuel took over. Rabbi Shmuel agreed to them using a mechitza tluya, not Rabbi Yossi. Umay Masa, what was that story? The Chiasur of Dimir. Dimir came, Amar, he related as follows. Pam Achas, there was once a time where they forgot, Shachachu v'lohiviu, Sefer Torah. Rashi explains, on account of the goyim, they would hide the Sefer Torah throughout the week. Come Erev Shabbos, they would deliver it to the shul. One week they forgot, v'lohiviu, Sefer Torah, Erev Shabbos. They forgot to bring the Sefer Torah before Shabbos to the shul. And now they ran into trouble because the shul was in a chatzar which had no erev. So how do they go about this? Lamachar, the next day on Shabbos, pirsa sadinin al gabi hamudim. They spread some sheets, some curtains, over the poles, the posts that were situated between the home where the sefer Torah was stored and the shul. So they created this curtained corridor between the two, which sort of shut out all the other homes, all the other residents of that chatzar, and precluded any need for Erev Chatzeris. It was this private alleyway created from the home to the shul. They viewed the Sefer Torah, which allowed them to bring the Sefer Torah from house to shul. The quarter boy, and they read in the Sefer Torah. So that was the story. Asks the Gemara, Peres HaSakataitach? Do you mean literally they brought some sheets and they hung it over the poles? How could they bring it on Shabbos? You cannot carry in this chatzar which has no Erev Chatzeris. Ella, rather, we must say, it was Motsu Sadin and Prusin al Gabem Budim. They discovered, they noticed, some sheets hanging over the poles. Perhaps there was some celebration a couple of days before, and there were still some sheets hanging there. And the Ritva learns, they weren't really, really rolled down. They were just hanging there, and on Shabbos they rolled them down because it was already partially made. It had a tefach of Mechitza, and you can go and add on Oil Arai on Shabbos. And once they created that alleyway, they view Sefer Torah of a Karaboy that allowed them to deliver the Sefer Torah and to read in it. So that was a story, and the Gemara says it was actually Rabbi Shmuel who allowed it. So even though it wasn't really a full Mechitza, firmly planted on ground, it was just a suspended Mechitza, it was sufficient for Shabbos carrying. Interesting, Tesis brings another Girsa. In the Kasha, the Gemara asks, how could they bring the sheets? It may not carry on Shabbos. There was another Girsa which went as follows. How could they spread these sheets on Shabbos? You're not meant to make an oil. You're not meant to initiate even a temporary oil on Shabbos. And Tesis learns, brings Raya's, that apparently we find other places in other Gemaras you can go ahead and do that, make a curtain on Shabbos. So he just brings the name of Rabbi Natan Mechidish. He says creating a curtain, meaning a vertical mechitza, is also considered asiyas oil, but only provided it has prominence, it has significance. He calls it a mechitza that's moyeles lahater, and Allah it's brought down mechitza materes. Just a plain curtain, which is not going to accomplish much, can be put up on Shabbos. But a mechitza which provides a function, provides a service, halachically provides a service, such as creating an enclosed area within the chatzah to allow carrying. Or as Tesis brings regarding sukkah. And he says, the first, second, and the bit of the third wall which enable that sukkah, that's the requirement for sukkah, that's called a mechitza materes, and cannot be done on Shabbos. But he says the fourth wall, the fourth wall, which isn't really necessary for sukkah, that's not called a mechitza materes. It's only a tesefes oil, and that's not really considered. So that apparently is the other pshat in the Gemara. The kasha was, how can they go ahead and actually hang these curtains on Shabbos where they're creating an oil aray b'tchila, and it's an oil aray which is a mechita materis. One responds by saying they didn't actually hang it up. It was pre-hung and they just lowered it down on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara with another two examples of uncompleted walls which can be used for sukkah. If you have a mat, four and a bit. Now, the sukkah is meant to be seven wide and ten high. This fellow has a mat which is seven long. It goes from side to side of your sukkah. And it doesn't reach from floor to ceiling. It's not ten tefachim high. It's only four and a bit. So in the horizontal position, it's only four and a bit. Says the Gemara, it works. Materis besukkah mishum doif, and you can use it as a wall. How can you use this incomplete wall? By strategically positioning it to employ lovet, actually a double lovet, which will stretch this four tefach mat for all it's worth. Heichi avit. What's he going to do? Tali le be'emtza. He suspends it midway, between floor to schach. Where? Pachas m'shlesh lamata, within three to the ground. So Lovet connects that. Pachas m'shlesh lamala, within three to the schach. So Lovet connects it there. Pachas m'shlesh, within three is considered one and connected. So again, he has a mat, which is seven tefachim long, the shear of sukkah, but only four and a bit wide. So he lies it down on its long side, but suspends it midway between floor and schach, within three to the floor, within three to the schach, you have a full-fledged daifin. Pshita, of course, what's the chiddush? Love it? We already know love it works. Mal detema, perhaps there would be room to think, chad love it amrinan. You can employ love it just once. Right? It takes something, and you stretch it. But trei lavad la'amrinan, to do it twice, once on this side, once on that side, that's already going a bit too far. You're stretching something which has already been stretched. Who says? Kamash mulam. Chiddush says, yeah, you can do that. Meisvi, listen to this kasha. Machzelos shiva umashu. Materes besukah mishum doifin. Here we have a machzelos, but it has to be shiva and a bit to be used for the doifin. Four and a bit isn't enough. Kitanyahi besukah gedoyla. Ah, that's speaking about a tall sukkah. Rav Chisda was speaking about a sukkah whose schach is merely 10 tefachim off the ground. In which case, if you have a mat running 7 tefachim from side to side and 4 and a bit in its height, and you place it within 3 to the ground, within 3 to the schach, which is sitting right at the 10 tefach point, you're okay. You've closed up all the gaps. Here we're speaking about a sukkah gedoyla, a tall sukkah. In which case, you can't apply the second lovet on the top of that machzelos. It's too far from the schach. You have 10 amas there. It's the only way to use this incomplete doifen, this mat, is if the mat is 7 a bit wide. So it's 7 long from right to left. And it's lying on that long side. And then you have 7 a bit in its height. If you place it within 3 to the ground, you've closed off the 2.9 on the bottom. 2.9 plus 7.1, you have your 10 tefachim. And that's a daifin, even though it's not going to reach the schach. We intend the Mishnah that as long as the mechitza rises from the ground up, asara tefachim, you're okay. Says the Gemara, my kamashmalon, and what's the chiddush here? The mishal shlan tefanes melamala lamata. So there are two girsas now, Gemara. Taisus is a girsa, which he quotes from in the name of Rashi, is that he is doing it milmata lamala, as described. He's doing it starting from the floor, working his way up. So he starts with a lavet on bottom, and then he has a 7 tefach mat to complete his 10 tefach. The way we have the girsa in the Gemara is the other way around. Concept is the same, but the other way around. We have a mat suspended all the way up at the schach, So it's within three tefachim to the schach, within two lavad, so you have 2.9 up there, plus you drop down another 7.1 for the mat itself, a total of 10. So the mat ends at the 10 tefach mark below the schach. That's enough, because you've completed your 10 tefach machitza, despite the fact that it's coming from the top down. And that's the chiddush, Maika Mashmon, the Mishal Shlon Tfonis Mamal Lamata, Rabbi Yosi. Apparently this Bryce has followed Rabbi Yosi, who allows a doifen even in this manner. That's interesting. The Ritva had the first gersa that it's was speaking about a mat planted within three tefachim to the ground. So you have a machita which rises 10 off the ground and it stops there. And the chiddush is says the Ritva that you can say good asik by a sukkah. See, Ritva is the shitase. He was the one who gave that pshat in the Mishnah, that a 10 tefach high daifin isn't really sufficient on its own. You have to employ the concept of a good asik. You have to sort of stretch it up to the schach to complete that machitza. And the chiddush of the Gemara, we're speaking about a machitza 10 tefach off the ground, to which you can apply the good asik and extend it up to the schach. And the chiddush is, isn't the chiddush, even though you're already employing the lavad on the bottom, right? You have a gap on the bottom, 2.9, of which you place this 7 tefach mat. You've already applied a virtual machitza on bottom. Still says the Ritva, you can extend that machitza further up with good asik all the way to the schach to complete your daif. So two ways to learn the Gemara. Either we're speaking about a suspended machitza, or one placed on the ground. Either way, you're employing lavad. Says the Gemara, another example of an incomplete machitza, which works. Amar Rabbi Ami. Pas araba'a umashuhu mati b'sukkah. This time it's called pas, Tosis explains. Pas means a board planted on the ground. So it's not suspended mid-air, like the machtselas we had earlier. It's the pas, the board planted firmly on ground. Now, the sukkah needs to be 7 wide by 10 high. So you have this board, which is 10 tefachim high, going from floor to ceiling, but it's only 4 and a bit wide, instead of the required 7. Matar b'sukkah mishum doifin, it works. How? Provided he positions it properly. U'mukim le b'pachas mishlesha tefachim samcha doifin. He'll place it within 3 tefachim to the other wall. So he places it within 3 tefachim to the corner. This way, it connects to that wall and creates an L-shaped sukkah. Within 3 tefachim to the other wall is one and connected. Now, what's the chiddush here? It's pretty clear, pretty obvious that it works. My kamashmon, what's he coming to teach us? Oh, kamashmon, you know what he's trying to teach us? The dimensions of a sukkah. We spoke about a sukkah being able to accommodate roishay v'rubay v'shulchani, head, body, and table. How much is that? Hakamash Malon, Shir Meshach Sukkah, Ktana, Shiva. What is the minimum size requirement for a sukkah? Length and width? 7 tefachim. So you need a pas, which is 4 and a bit, within 3 to the wall, which creates a total of a 7 tefach wall. Okay, let's do a brief chazor of today's daf. We learned that perhaps even Bloi Kalim are unsuitable for schach use, so even the remnants of a garment, of a kli, since it originated from a kli which is not roi, even the bloi kelim are unsuitable. We learned that, according to the Chachamim at least, the collapsed bed frame is still considered a kli, so therefore even without the chiddush of bloi kelim being pasal, this arucha or shnei kraim or ktsara or shnei kraim, the long post with two legs, the short post with two legs, would certainly be still considered schach possible because it's a clean makabot tumah. We learned about a mat. If it's produced for the sake of sichuch, as opposed to for personal use, it's not a kli, it's not makabot tumah, and kosher for schach. We had the chiddush name of Rav Huna. Although generally, choytet begadish is not a sukkah, because the schach is just there by default. It wasn't man-made. Therefore, it's tasav lemon asi, but if there was a chalal tefach within that haystack, that's a good starting point. A chalal tefach with an area of 7x7, you can go ahead and enlarge that chalal and finish your sukkah without any concern. Then we learned about incomplete mechitzas as follows. So let's start milamata lamal. Starting point is down below. He's working his way up. We learned that if it's 10 tefachim high, it's gevoya yud, it works. We have two pshat and rishonim, either because 10 tefachim is enough on its own, or we employ good asik and we extend it upward by way of the halacha l'mashim in Sinai, we connect it to the schach in that manner. If you have a wall which is hovering within 3 tefachim to the ground, so the chitza is 7 tefachim and a bit, but positioned within 3 to the ground, that's within shir olavad, and that works. Not only that, you can have a wall which is only 4 and a bit, as long as it's within 3 to the ground and within 3 to the schach. That also works. What about milamala lamata? He's working his way down. He's starting his daifin on top and working his way down. If he reaches within 3 to the aretz, according to Oshitas, it's okay. What if it doesn't reach within 3 to the ground? So you can't connect it to the ground. But it is 10 tefachim in size. According to Tanakama, mechitzat li doesn't work. It has to be firmly planted on the ground below to create a barrier and a proper division, a proper mechitzah, and a proper daifin vasukah, whereas Rabbi Yasi says, even a mechitzat li works. So you have Mechitzat Luya over here by Sukkah, the name of Rabbi Yasi, and likewise you have Mechitzat Luya by the Bor Shemeshtei Chatzeres, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says perhaps two things aren't necessarily related. We concluded with two unique cases of incomplete Mechitzas. In the first case we had a Sukkah which was 10 tefachim high, and he suspends a mat, which is, although it is 7 tefachim long, reaches from side to side, from wall to wall, but it's merely 4.2 in height. We say it's okay because it's within reach of the schach, within reach to the ground. We apply a double lavud on top and on bottom. In the final case we had a board which was 10 tefachim high, so it was sitting on the floor, but it was only 4 and a bit in its width, says the Gemara, there as well. You can position it within 3 tefachim to the next wall, in which case you apply lavud, and you've completed your sukkah because the shear of a sukkah ketana is 7 tefachim. Hatzlacha rava to you and kol tov.